The world says create a worry period, same time every day. Write down those worries. Jesus said, don't worry, just look at the birds. Do you see how deep that is? No, you don't get it. It says, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome to our midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Birds and Flowers, from a study in the Epistle of Philippians. So now, let's join the study.
If I don't worry, then it means I don't care. Do you understand? See, it's not true. We don't have to worry. We have to plan. We have to have a careful walk. We have to walk in wisdom. But we don't have to worry about our life. See, worry says, if you worry, I'll protect you from whatever's coming your way. And that is a lie, loved one. It's not true. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Listen, when worry comes, and I'm training myself, I really am. When worry comes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go look at the birds. I'm going to go consider the orchids in my study. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to look at the flowers. I'm going to try, Lord, I'm looking. I don't want to have to worry. I'm going to look at you, take care of all of that. You know what? The bird flies in the, you know, you water your yard. You know what happens when you water your yard in, you know, in the summer? Or you mow your yard? What comes and lands on it? Birds, what are they looking for? They want to help you mow? What is it? What are they looking for? Worms. There it comes and they get it. Why? God takes care of them. Well, if God's going to take care of them, he is going to take care of you. Now, are you ready to go back to Philippians 4:6? Let's do that. He says in verse 6 again, be anxious for nothing. Now, don't worry about one thing, not one thing. And now he tells us what we need to do. He says, but in everything, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, or with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So when it says prayer, it starts off with prayer. That it is prayer, but it means more of a worship. In other words, you start off, let worship replace your worries, okay? So you just, the first thing you do, you start in your prayer time, you start worshiping the Lord. Remember the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, will be done. Remember that? Okay, well, that's worship. That's the first step in our Lord's Prayer. We worship the Lord, and also the Lord's Prayer ends in worship. We don't start out, and many of us do. We start out, we come to the Lord, we barge right in, there's no worship, and we go, give us this day our daily bread. You know what I'm saying? That's not what God says for us to do at all. See, we need to worship the one that is bigger and larger than all of our worries or concerns. G. Campbell Morgan said this, can you mention anything in your life that is too big to God? Isn't that a great word? Nothing is bigger than God. I mean, listen, you know what you could do? Don't worry about everything, but pray about everything. Big things, little things, all things. In other words, shape your worries and turn them into prayers. Amen? And you do that by not just praying, but look at the next word, supplication. That's almost, you can be emotional in that one. You're pleading in a sense. You're crying out to God and making supplication for a known specific need. This is that Luke 18:1 type praying. Remember when Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not faint, not become discouraged, never give up. This is a James 5:16 praying, you know, that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or is very, very powerful. So thanksgiving is the next one. That's that attitude of gratitude. You can give thanksgiving unto God because you know he loves you. You know that you can cast all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen? So this is that attitude of gratitude. And you have to come not doubting, but thankful. Listen, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen? It's impossible. You have to come believing that God is there for you. And then the word request, that speaks of a definite request, if you will, specific. It's not demands, you know, and it's not a blanket prayer like bless all the missionaries in the world, Lord. That's not what that word request means. It says, now let your request be known to every person at Calvary Chapel. That's not bad if you want to let that be known, but in context, that's not what it means. It says, let your every request, loved one, talking about worry, the cure for worry. He says, let whatever is worrying you, let it be known to God. Literally, it would read, instead of let it be known to God, let it be known in the presence of God. You see, when you are in prayer, spiritually, are you at the throne of grace? Are you in the very atmosphere of God? Yes, He is with you. He'll never leave you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He is also alongside of you. Oh, and the angels of God. So we're in a spiritual atmosphere when we are praying. Now, so we know the promise now that we're getting ready to read from God who cannot lie. So if we do verse 6, God promises to do verse 7. Look at it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. All understanding in the universe. Look what it will do. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen, is that incredible? The word guard there, that's a military word. In other words, God says, here's what I'm going to do. My peace, I am going to set a guard. I'm your guard. I'm your sentinel, if you will, around your heart and your mind. Okay, the two areas, worry, the attack comes, all right? But it only happens one way, through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our peace. Peace is a person, Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace, amen? So we look at that and we have to understand, and I know you know this, but our thoughts, are they powerful? They are, aren't they? I mean, fear, you can feel, can you feel fear, guilt, worry? Yeah, see, thoughts can be felt. And boy, the devil, I'm telling you, man, he knows the place of attack. He attacks the heart and he attacks especially the mind. Unbelievers, what has he done to the unbelievers' mind? He has blinded their minds. Oh, loved one, listen, that's where he attacks because he knows the mind, our mind, is the operating system, if you will, for guilt and fear and anxiety and also worry. That's why we obey what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare, we have weapons, by the way, of our warfare, and we're in a war, are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember in context from Corinthians where I'm reading, a stronghold is a house built upon thoughts. Does that make sense? It's a house. A stronghold is a house, and you've got all these things that are not true going around in your mind, the worry and so forth. He says, listen, he said right here, then destroy them, or casting down the arguments, those mental arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. Captivity, put that thought in jail. That's a lie. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, you replace that lie, that worry, with the promise and truth of God's word. Amen? And that's exactly how we do that. But then it says something. It says that the way God guards our hearts and minds, it says with a peace that surpasses all human understanding. That's unbelievable. You know, loved one, Scripture speaks of peace in different ways. For example, in Romans 5:1, we have peace with God now because we've been justified by faith through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the peace there in Romans 5:1 is a divine fact. It's not necessarily ever a feeling. Does that make sense? God's not mad at us. We have peace with God because of Christ Jesus our Lord. What guarded the heart of Paul and the mind of Paul? He's in prison. He's in Rome, and he's shackled to a guard 24/7. You know what it was? It was the all-surpassing peace, if you will, peace that passes all understanding that guarded his heart. whenever Peter, in the book of Acts, when he was cast in the prison, and Herod and them, they wanted to execute him the next day. And what was Peter doing in prison? He was sleeping. Why? Because the peace that passes all understanding from God was abiding upon him, loved one. Remember, God had to send an angel to wake up Peter. He kept hitting him. Come on, Peter, wake up. Remember? How about Daniel in the lion's den? Remember when they cast him in the lion's den and so forth, and they put the big boulder over the top, and all those lions were in there? And Daniel, he was at peace all night long. Why? Well, an angel of the Lord showed up, closed the mouth of the lions. He had a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? But the king, what was it, Darius, I believe, may be wrong. But remember what happened? He was up all night worrying. Yeah, but not Daniel. Oh, listen, loved one. That this is a supernatural peace. And it passes our understanding. Years ago, when my wife Becky, when she was diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer, you know, you're talking about a person who didn't have peace, you're looking at him. And, you know, I remember what she did. She was writing one of our dear friends. Let me just read an excerpt from the letter. She said in her own words, she said, "Well, it took about a month to finally get all the test results, confirm the diagnosis. And in that time, you know what I did? I simply surrendered to Jesus. I know and understand the grace of God like I never have before. And when you think about the what ifs, you think, oh, I could never endure this. I could never endure that. But I know that when you need or have to go through whatever it may be, His grace is poured out upon you in order to endure." And listen to what she says. "And it was, and it is, and it was a supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding." The night before her first chemo treatment, she says, "I lay awake in the bed, and in the middle of the night, the Lord spoke to me and said this." He said it so clearly. He said, "Go get 5 smooth stones, as David did, and face this Philistine," meaning cancer. I knew that this was a word just for me. And then, of course, 3 years later, 3 years of chemo, she said, "I still have the stones sitting on a table that I see every day. Phew. And they are a memorial to remember the goodness of God." Listen, I was begging God. When you see your spouse, your wife, you can't see. If you're a man, you want to help. You have to fix it. Does that, you know what I mean? You're a man. I'm going to fix this. I'm protecting my family. I could do nothing but pray. Thank God. But I witnessed the supernatural peace of God that passes all human understanding on her. It was amazing. I saw it. Let me ask you a question. What can disturb God's peace? Nothing. Nothing at all, loved one. The Word of God, it is true. Now listen, you need to look at those scriptures, the ones that I just read here in Philippians. You need to really look deeply into them, because you know what? God is not promising, He can do this, but it's not here. He's not promising to eliminate or banish all of your circumstances that you're going through. Amen? No. Or you know, but He could, but in the context here, He's not talking about that. Here's what He's saying. Don't worry. Don't you worry about your life. Don't you worry about anything. I'm your Heavenly Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Spirit is your Comforter. You don't worry about anything, because I will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what it means. And that is a peace that passes all understanding. That's why Paul says, "Finally, brethren," in the next verse. Or it really could read like this, not "finally, brethren," or "if the peace of God," if you really want to experience that, and I know one day in your life you're going to need to experience it, look what he says to do. He's going to give us 8 words, okay, that should fill our thought life and our mind. In other words, we get our mind on right things and get them off of wrong things. So he says this, "Whatever things are what?" Does the truth make you worry? No, but if you're an unbeliever, you don't know Christ Jesus, the truth better make you worry. Amen? No, but the truth, Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, amen? The devil is a liar. John 8:44, he's the father of all lies. No, the truth, man. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, worthy of honor, worthy of respect, whatever things are just or meaning, whatever things are right. It's so easy to focus on the things in this world that are not right. Amen? That are all wrong. Don't focus on that. People get so hung up on this or the White House or that. Focus on Jesus. Amen? No, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure. Oh, that's a great word, pure, unstained by evil. We live in a vile, dirty, filthy garbage dump called the earth. Amen? Oh, it's vile here. He says, so whatever things that are lovely, whatever things are pleasing unto God. That word lovely is only used right there in the New Testament. He says, whatsoever things are of good report, things that are well thought of in your life. He says, man, if there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, and don't forget these next four words. Meditate on these things. In other words, think them. Don't think about them. Think them. Listen, you see all those wonderful words? You know what that means? It means this, to focus on those things, TV should be eliminated. I'm not saying, oh, now he's getting into legal. No, I'm just saying, look, it's filth. It's filth. I mean, it's hard to fill stuff like that with your mind if there, all the junk that's on. I mean, it doesn't. Just TV's filthy. It's amazing. You know, kids, even little kids are cussing. I'm shocked. I'm not shocked. It's the world. But here's the thing, loved one. Listen, meditate on is not a suggestion, and it's not an option for a believer. It is literally a command. It says, meditate on these things. What does God say? He is commanding you. We want to get rid of worry. He says he's commanding every believer to think. Think. Remember what God says in Isaiah 1:18? God says, come. He's inviting us. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk about it. Let's think about it. God says, no, you're commanded to do that. Listen, a guarded thought life is a guided thought life. Amen? And that is so vital. Let me share something with you. This verse that I just read, verse 8, it has been called the briefest biography of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because each word, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, all of those words, do they reflect Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus true? Is Jesus pure? Oh, man, listen. So, you know, it's hard to worry if we meditate upon him. And the Bible tells us that too. In Isaiah 26:3, God says, he says, we'll keep you in perfect peace. I like that. Not just peace, but perfect peace. Here it comes. Whose mind is stayed upon you, upon God. And the reason? Because he trusts in you. Verse 4, yes, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Listen, do you know why a believer's mind, the reason a believer's mind is stayed upon the Lord Jesus? It's because he trusts in the Lord Jesus. Amen? And that's what's so important. Listen, you can trust in the one, Hebrews 13:8, you can trust in the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, loved one. So look at our responsibility quickly. The last verse of this morning, or the verse in our text, it says here that we're to practice these things. Practice them. Watch. The things, plural, Paul says, which you learned, received, heard, saw in me. What are those next two words? These do. And the result and the peace of God will be with you. Now, Paul, listen, this is not ego again. Remember, we've already covered that. Paul is not saying I've arrived, I've attained, or he says I'm still going from glory to glory. He's not doing that. He's saying, listen, learn God's truth and then apply God's truth. In other words, don't just be a hearer of God's word, but be a doer of God's word. And if you are just a hearer and not a doer, what does it say that you are? You're deceived, loved one. You're deceived. So what have we learned in our study through Philippians? Well, chapter 1, we've learned that Christ is our life. Amen? In chapter 2, we've learned that Christ is our example. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've learned in chapter 3 that Christ is our goal. He is our prize, that we're running that race. And now, as we're slowly winding down in this great epistle, then chapter 4, verse 13, this is how Paul did it. How was it? I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And Paul said, hey, and that peace of God that we all need, we need it today, we need it forever. He says that peace of God will be with you. Now listen carefully. We don't have to pray for God to be with us, do we? Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In Hebrews 13:5, one of my favorite scriptures, man, that I read from the Amplified Version over and over, he says, listen, he says, I will never leave you. I love that. Did you hear me? God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never relax my hold upon you. So you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. Amen? Oh, I'll not be afraid. What a great scripture. Listen, God is with us. But here's the thing about it. It's one thing to say God is with me. It's another to believe God is with you. And that's the key. You see, that's the key about worry. Listen to me. Jesus' answer, the great counsel of our Savior, is so simple yet so unbelievable. He says, I want you to look. Don't worry. Just go look at some birds, okay? Don't worry. Would you just go consider the flowers? Amen? What kind of amazing word is that? He says, oh, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Father, thank you. I pray that the word spoken from your scripture this very minute, if it hasn't come alive in the hearts of your sheep, that let it come alive right now, and let it be sharper than and more powerful than any two-edged sword. Lord, let worry be tossed out the window, out of our minds and out of our hearts. And thank you, Lord, that when we do worry, we can run to you and we can turn our worries into worship. And Father, you will set a sentinel. Your peace will be a sentinel in our hearts and around our minds, protecting us from the two areas that Satan loves to attack. So, Lord, this morning, those live, those here, Lord God, let worry be displaced from their hearts and minds by your grace, by your goodness, and by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit of God. Because, Lord, we are more value, more worth, so much more than the sparrows and the flowers that you've created. And Father, if there's anyone here and that Jesus is not their Lord, I pray for them right this minute that you would move upon their heart, because Lord, eternity is a long time to never have peace, but only torment. So as our heads are bowed, please, and every Christian praying quickly, if you've never asked Christ Jesus to be your Lord, you can right now. You don't even have to get out of your chair. This is an act of faith on your account. All you have to do is say, Bill, I'm not a believer. And lift your hand up and say, Bill, I want you to pray for me. And if you'll do that, just put it up and put it right back down, and I will pray with you. Anyone at all this morning before I close? Well, Father, I hope and believe that everyone here is saved this morning. And Father, we pray over Steve and Carol now for next week. Give them not only good success in all that they do, but Lord God, prosper them there and back on their journey. Let divine favor rest upon them with every person they meet, wherever they sleep, whatever they do. Keep them in all of their ways. We love you, Lord. And we praise you today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining Pastor Study today. And we invite you to tune in tomorrow for another encouraging message from Pastor Bill. So until next time, may the Lord bless you. And so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.